Thank you, Calvin, for that beautiful prelude. Calvin is here this morning again. He will continue to play until Judy comes back on the 24th. So thank you for your service, Calvin. good morning to each and every one of you. We have a celebration of birthdays during the month of January. Mike, Harold, Bill, Beth, Gary, Audrey. We are happy that you are part of our church and happy birthday to you all. Now, if you have any things that you'd like to make an announcement and things, you can always send that in via email or call the church office, and we will share all together. And as you have heard, this virus is getting really worse during this winter, and I would like all of us to take extra precautions to protect ourselves. And maybe following several weeks, you may not see the liturgists here every Sunday morning. I encourage people to stay home. So, but I will be leading the worship as usual. And let us continue to uphold each other in our prayers. Now it's time for the call to worship. Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. For it is thou, Lord only, that makest me dwell in safety. Teach me, Lord, teach me truly how to live, that I may come to know thee. And in thy presence serve thee with gladness and sing songs of praise to thy glory. Our first opening hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Verses 1-3.
Lend me safe.
Let us continue our worship with the by confessing the Apostles' Creed and then on to the time of prayer. Let us confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join our hearts together in silent prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so glad that we have this time of worship, prayer, and the studying on your word. We have come together by joining our hearts, even though we are physically apart. We are united as one in spirit, and we worship you. For you are our God, for you are our sustainer, you are our provider. It is so wonderful that we can set aside everything that disturbs us and focus on you and on your presence. As we reflect upon where we are in life, and what we are dealing with, we know that our needs are all known to you. You know where we have been, where we are today, and what we are dealing with. And you are all-sufficient God. You are there with us, protecting us, providing for us, and meeting all our need. So, Lord, as one community of faith, we acknowledge that we've been blessed so much in every way because you are in our life. You have come into our life through Jesus as we humbly acknowledge our sins and flaws and mistakes and ask for the forgiveness. You have given us your grace freely flowing from your throne and have accepted us as your own. And we are so privileged to live this life in you. So Lord, give us the assurance that you are with us, that you are fighting our life's battle on our behalf, and all our difficulties we face today, we do not have to fight on our own, but you are there fighting on our behalf. So, Lord, we come to you and trust in your loving care, and ask you to strengthen us, especially our faith, so that we may not be moved, we may not be shaken by any challenges of life, but continue to trust in your steadfast love. So, Lord, we come with praise and thanksgiving, confessing that our life is within you. You are with us, watching over us, and our needs are all being met. So we thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us. And as we come before your presence, we have brought our cares, worries, and concerns. And for everyone that you have placed in our life who needs your loving care, continue to strengthen everyone who is battling this virus. It's been a long battle, and we still see some lengthy battle to fight on. And we pray for your strengthening presence and your sustaining grace upon all those who are engaged in this battle. And we ask you to give them your protection, that we may be victorious in the end. You have placed in our life many loved ones, O Lord, whom we love so dearly, and we ask you to hold them, protect them with your power as well, that we may all be made strong on the journey. Acknowledging that you are in our life, that you go before our path, that you plan our path even before we know it, we submit to your power and to your will at this time. As we join our hearts and prayer together, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now is the time for the young and heart.
Today's story is called The Snail and the Whale. It's written by Julia Donaldson and illustrated by Axel Scheffler. This is a tale of a tiny snail and a great big gray-blue humpback whale. This is a rock as black as soot, and this is a snail with an itchy foot. The sea snail slithered all over the rock and gazed at the sea and the ships on the dock. And as she gazed, she sniffed and sighed, "The sea is deep and the world is wide. How I long to sail," said the tiny snail. These are the other snails in the flock, who all stuck tight to the smooth black rock and said to the snail with the itchy foot, "Be quiet, don't wriggle, stay still, stay put." But the tiny sea snail sighed and sniffed and then cried, "I've got it, I'll hitch a lift." This is the trail of the tiny snail, a silvery trail that looped and circled and said, "Lift wanted around the world." This is the whale who came one night when the tide was high and the stars were bright, a humpback whale immensely long who sang to the snail a wonderful song of shimmering ice and coral caves and shooting stars and enormous waves. And this is the tale of the humpback whale. He held it out of the starlit sea and said to the snail, "Come sail with me." This is the sea so wild and free that carried the whale and the snail on his tail to towering icebergs and far-off lands with fiery mountains and golden sands. These are the waves that arched and crashed, that foamed and frolicked and sprayed and splashed, the tiny snail on the tail of the whale. These are the caves beneath the waves where stripy fish with feathery fins and sharks with hideous toothy grins swam round the whale and the snail on his tail. This is the sky so vast and high, sometimes sunny and blue and warm, sometimes filled with a thunderstorm, with zigzag lightning flashing and frightening the tiny snail on the tail of the whale. And she gazed at the sky, the sea, the land, the waves and the caves and the golden sand. She gazed and gazed, amazed by it all, and she said to the whale, "I feel so small." But then came the day the whale lost his way. These are the speedboats running a race, zigging and zooming all over the place, upsetting the whale with their ear-splitting roar, making him swim too close to the shore. This is the tide slipping away. And this is the whale lying beached in a bay. "Quick, off the sand, back to the sea," cried the snail. "I can't move on land, I'm too big," moaned the whale. The snail felt helpless and terribly small. Then, "I've got it," she cried, and started to crawl. "I must not fail," said the tiny snail. This is the bell on the school in the bay, ringing the children in from their play. This is the teacher holding her chalk, telling the class, "Sit straight, don't talk." This is the board as black as soot. And this is the snail with the itchy foot. "A snail, a snail!" The teacher turns pale. "Look," say the children, "it's leaving a trail." This is the trail of the tiny snail, a silvery trail saying, "Save the whale." These are the children running from school, fetching the firemen, digging a pool, squirting and spraying to keep the whale cool. This is the tide coming into the bay, and these are the villagers shouting, "Hooray!" as the whale and the snail travel safely away. Back to the dock and the flock on the rock, who said, "How time's flown, and haven't you grown?" And the whale and the snail told their wonderful tale of shimmering ice and coral caves and shooting stars and enormous waves, and how the snail, so small and frail, with her looping, curling, silvery trail, saved the life of the humpback whale. Then the humpback whale held out his tail, and on crawled snail after snail after snail. And they sang to the sea as they all set sail on the tail of the gray-blue humpback whale. The end. May we all look out for each other so well and live lives of adventure. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dreary, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost my cross. lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my darkness appears, when the night draws near, and the day
of God this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. It's the one of the letters sent to the seven churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those of the synagogues of Satan who say that they are Jews but are not, but are lying, I'll make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to the Spirit, to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once more, good morning to each and every one of you. And I pray that this time of worshiping and listening to the scriptures is going to be a really uplifting time for each and every one of us. That includes me as well. And I will share what I mean a little bit later. An aspiring young man of faith was randomly chosen to preach at a camp meeting just before the Sunday morning service. As hundreds of people began gathering on the ground, the young preacher panicked and ran into the bishop's tent. "What shall I do, Bishop?" he implored. "They've asked me to preach, but I don't have any sermon." "Just trust the Lord." Then the bishop marched out of his tent. Frustrated, the young man picked up the bishop's Bible and flipped through it, hoping to find an inspiring verse. Instead, he found some typewritten sermon notes he liked very much. So he took the bishop's Bible and notes and went to the service. The young preacher amazed everyone with his sermon, and the people crowded around him after the service. Suddenly, the bishop pushed his way through the crowd. "Young man," the bishop thundered, "you preached the sermon I was going to preach tonight. Now, what am I going to do?" "Trust the Lord, Bishop," the young man replied. "Just trust the Lord." And I was wondering, maybe because I have prepared this joke to share with you, I have experienced something like this before I came to church. I might have been late even. I usually print out the sermon on Sunday morning before I come to church on Sunday. Every Sunday is my habit, every time. And then, guess what happened this morning? Around like 7:20 or 7:10, the electricity went out. And usually it comes right back. And I was sitting there and I waited and waited. It didn't come back. So I was calling the utility company in Riverside. The line was busy. And I went to Becky and explained what happened. And Becky said, "I don't know. I paid the utility bill on time." She thought that the utility company in Riverside cut out the power line. So I thought, maybe I had to preach without any manuscript. And luckily, it came back. I am so grateful for that. About like 30 minutes later, and I finally printed out the manuscript that I had prepared all week long. But I mean, it was a time of like, actually, you know, the test of my faith. It's like, am I able to memorize all that I prepared and be able to preach without any manuscript? I should have stronger faith instead of, you know, running around and trying to check if there's some problems with the electric lines, and I cut a couple of places on my fingers doing that. We all have faith in God. It is why we are gathered together for worship this morning. Our gathering serves many purposes. It is an important act of confession to acknowledge who God is and who we are. It provides us spiritual nourishment and fellowship with each other. Your presence strengthens and encourages each other for the journey. So, now let us ask this question. How strong is our faith? We all have faith, but how strong is it? How do we measure the strength of our faith? Now, the one way to measure, as I have indicated, is crisis. When we face crisis, do we still maintain peace, or are we swiftly disturbed by it? Is our faith still at work, or other mechanism of survival kicked in? We would not lose our faith. I mean, you know, we have been through so many trials and we have not lost our faith. But when we face many occasions when we do not use our faith, we have it, but we don't use it, especially during the time of crisis. Some crisis demoralizes us spiritually, makes us at a loss, and we ended up seeking human tools instead of seeking God. And I would like to call this a detachment of faith. Detachment of faith. let me explain what I mean by detachment of faith. A car has major components such as an engine, a transmission, and wheels. These need to be connected to each other to mobilize a car. If there is a disconnection in between, a car won't go anywhere. Consider an engine as faith, a transmission an act of application, and wheels are where rubber meets the road in contact with actual problems. For a car to move forward, transmission needs to be engaged. Likewise, for us to see our faith at work, we need to apply our faith to the problem areas. But our faith is disengaged often, especially during the crisis. We are not motivated to apply faith to problem areas. Why? It is because we think our faith is little too weak to pull the heavy loads of trials. We are right about that. We have a little faith. Do we have faith and this faith do anything? We tend to comprehend that a little faith is not worth much. Where does this understanding come from? Of course, from our own understanding. You know, we have a little faith, and little faith doesn't do much. And also, interestingly, from the gospel. And let me share. Jesus scolded his followers multiple times for their small faith. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught them about worrying needlessly and said, God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee and were caught in a sudden storm. The disciples were terrified and feared drowning. Jesus woke up and said, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" He rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The disciples were on a boat in the Sea of Galilee by themselves on one occasion. And Jesus came walking on the sea. Peter walked as Jesus commanded him, but as soon as he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" The Gospels record a few more occasions to demonstrate that a little faith accompanies fear, doubt, and unnecessary worries. Certainly, a little faith is viewed negatively in those places. But that's not all. The gospel also gives us a positive description on a little faith. And that's what we would like to focus on today. In the following places, Jesus highly esteemed a small faith with a huge potential to explain that a small faith could do great things. Jesus used examples of a mustard seed. In Matthew 17, the disciples asked Jesus in private because they could not drive out the demon from the demon-possessed boy. They said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." I mean, this is a huge statement. Jesus pointed out that his disciples had so little faith, but at the same time, he said that faith as small as a mustard seed could move mountains and work miracles. Matthew 13, Jesus told the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast and said, "Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted it in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." In terms of growth potentials, this parable of a mustard seed agrees with another parable of Jesus on sowing seed in the same chapter. The Philadelphia church to which the letter of Jesus was addressed was a small congregation. Christianity in the first century is called the Apostolic Age, for the apostles were actively serving believers and churches. They were still around. The last apostle was John, who died around 100 AD. Except Jerusalem church, all the early churches during the apostolic age in Asia Minor, that is today's Turkey, were small in size. From the way that the letter was written, the church in Philadelphia was even smaller. It was so small, according to the letter, that it did not have enough resources to get by. In those days, persecutions for Christians were rampant. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was in exile because of his faith. In spite of many of their disadvantages, the believers in Philadelphia church kept their faith with little strength. And it says, "I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." In my opinion, the little strength that it mentions here in the letter is akin to a little faith. Some of us may think that those Christians in the early church were all super strong. Were they really? The book of James, which was written during that apostolic age, somewhere around 65 and 85 AD, made a reference to one of the greatest heroes of the Old Testament, that is Elijah. It says in James 5, "Elijah was just a human being, even as we are. Elijah prayed honestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. We may not have the same cruel persecutions that the early Christians suffered, but our life is not without troubles. If the believers in the church in Philadelphia could endure hardship and persecution with little strength and faith, we could do too. See what Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut because you have a little power and have kept my word and not denied my name." It means that not only does Jesus appreciate a little faith, the small faith you and I have has much value and power. The faith we have is often compared as a hidden jewel. And this happened some years ago at a lapidary, a place to cut precious jewels in Chicago. Gustav Gilman, a Chicago jewelry maker, was at work in his shop when John Milhawk of Omaha entered. Milhawk, who was a daily laborer, drew out of his pocket a rough red stone and handed it to Gilman. "I want you to cut and polish this," said Milhawk. "Where did you get it?" gasped Gilman, as his eyes almost popped out of his head. "My father picked it up in Hungary 50 years ago," was the reply of Milhawk. "He thought that it was a pretty pebble. When I landed in this country, I found it in my suitcase. It has been lying around the house ever since. I thought that it was no more than a mere pebble. The children play with it. My last baby cut his teeth on it. One night I dreamed it was a diamond worth a lot of money, but it's not a diamond. It is red." "No, it's a pigeon blood ruby," said Gilman. "What might it be worth?" was the question of Mihawk. "I said anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000, answered Gilman. And I mean, this it was like a few decades ago. Hearing it, Mihawk almost fainted. He was told that the big rough stone cut to a flawless ruby of 23 9/10 carats was believed to be the largest in this country and possibly the largest in the world. We all have this precious jewel. However, the size would be. We have this precious jewel of faith. We may not appreciate its value as we should, but think about it. By faith, we have come to know God. By faith, not by science, we know that God created the universe. By faith, we know that Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice to forgive our sins. By faith, we know that there is life after death. By faith, we are able to see God's intervention and how God guides us. Faith makes us who we are. We are often discouraged by the enormity of problems and our minuscule faith. But we should not be, we should not detach our faith from crisis. We need to put our faith and crisis together. We need to engage our faith in the actual problem areas. We need to apply our faith and see how wonderfully God works through the small faith we have. The small faith, as small as the mustard seed, can remove heavy boulders far away from our life's path. Our little faith has helped us overcome many hardships in the past, and look where we are today. With that little faith, we have come this far. See how wonderfully God has guided us, and God has led us to where we are today with that little faith. Our little faith has done many wonders. You know, Philadelphia was a place that held this athletic contest. It was known to be that. And in the letter, John was asked to write that if they endure all that hardship, they will receive the crown. Now, crown in Greek is called Stephanos, which refers to the wreath of victory, that is crown, actual crown. When we hold on, keep on using our little faith and apply it to our crisis, in the end, we will all receive this Stephanos, the crown of victory. Faith, however little we may think, is indispensable for the journey. Those of us who keep faith with a little strength will be given the crown of victory at the end of the long race that we have run. And we will continue. Our journey into the new year continues with this little but powerful faith. Amen. Now is the time to give our thanks to God with our tithes and offering. Lord Jesus, once more, we acknowledge that you are the source of all blessings. You are a wonderful provider. You are our sustainer. And you have been so faithful unto us unto this day, and you will continue to do so until the very end. So, Lord, we humbly acknowledge what you have done for us with this offering of thanksgiving, and ask you to receive it, bless it, and may it be used to extend your kingdom through the mission and ministries of this house of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
So sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to pass upon his promise and to know, thus says the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and his simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to see. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Let us pray. Lord, we are reminded of this blessed journey that we are walking in the world today. We have been through many trials and temptation, and with the faith in you, we have overcome them all. We see some big mountains before our eyes. We see some crises in our life and in the world. But, oh Lord, with the faith we have in you, we are going to continue on. So, Lord, encourage us. Increase our faith, that we may trust in you all the more, that we may be steady walking on this lifelong journey. And we know, O Lord, with a faith as small as a mustard seed, there is nothing impossible. And we trust in your word, and with this faith you have given unto us, we now go out into the world and can face all the challenges. So bless our journey continually with this faith of ours, that we may find peace and comfort wherever we are, and especially during the time of our trials. Therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
be afraid. God will go.